Respect the minister, the word of God to us this morning. I'm going to ask Lee to come and share the word.
We've been hearing a lot on kingdom culture recently. And Pastor Dave's been doing on the Beatitudes. I want to keep in line with that. I just want to share a little bit on something that's very important to have kingdom culture, and that is prayer. Yes. We've heard a lot of prayer. There is a lot about prayer. There are many scriptures on prayer. People have preached great sermons on prayer. But today I just want to be very practical. We're coming to a time at the end of the age where God is equipping His people. And to equip His people, you need to know how to. Oftentimes, we've come together, we've prayed, but we really haven't, as a new Christian, sometimes you don't know what to do. You don't know how to pray. But you hear people praying, you think, well, how can they do that? So today, I just want to talk a little bit about that. But I'm only going to cover three areas of prayer. There are many areas of prayer, but I only want to cover three that I believe is important to this church. So what is prayer? Prayer basically is a process. It allows us to talk to God. It is a choice. But yet it is also a command. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray, or if you want to pray, or when you think of coming, then you pray like this. But he says when you pray. So you can choose to pray, or you can also obey God and do the command. Prayer is an act. It's something you do. It's not merely an attitude. Prayer is an essential part of Christian living and flows out of humility and our dependence on God. When we pray, it should be in secret. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, enter your closet, shut your door, and pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father will reward you openly. There is a time for personal prayer, and there is a time for public prayer. But whatever time it is, we should talk to God privately. It is a privilege for us as Christians to pray, because this was Jesus' gift to us at Calvary. He tore the veil, which gave us direct access into God. We didn't have to come with a sacrifice. We don't have to come any other way except as we are. That's what brings us straight into the throne room of God. And we should never feel afraid to do that. It doesn't matter how we are. We can still come. There is nothing you've done that He doesn't know about. There's nothing you can say that's going to change His mind about how He thinks of you. So, you know, you come as you are. For us, prayer should be like breathing. As it is normal for us to breathe, so prayer should also be a normal part of our life. When we are born again, we enter into a spiritual atmosphere where God's presence and His grace influences our lives. For us to be fully functional each day, we must continue in the presence of God, breathing in His truth. You know, it's how we breathe. We breathe in His truth, and out comes the praise. Okay? The main idea behind prayer is to petition God, is to ask Him for things, not things like cars and houses and things like that, but to ask Him for things that is going to change the world, things that are going to change us as people. And in Matthew 7, 7 and 8, it says, ask and it will be given you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Oftentimes when we come into prayer, you know, we pray and we don't receive straight away what we've asked for. So we think, oh, well, God doesn't answer prayer. You know, we haven't got what we've asked for. But have we really prayed to get something, or have we really prayed to see God make a change? Because prayer should change things. Prayer is a changer and a glue that keeps people together. So therefore, when we ask, you know, we don't automatically receive straight away, because God will sometimes test us before He gives us what we want. We receive in the way God wants to give it to us, not how we perceive it to be. Okay? We also have to wait sometimes for God to give us something. God doesn't just dish out. Every time we say we want something, here you are like a spoiled child. You want something, I'll shut you up. Here you are. Take it. You know, He wants to see what our reaction is going to be. Because for every time you ask for something, there's got to be a response. Or every time you do something, there's got to be a response. And the response is what God's looking at. He doesn't care about the asking. He's caring about the response of it. So sometimes He'll keep us right to the very end. And I have known that very end. Sometimes to the day, you know, you're waiting and it still hasn't been there. You think, God, where are you? But He's there. He's never late. He's on time. Okay? So how often should we pray? If possible, it's good to put aside a time each day. Find a place in your house. For me, because I live with my kids, my place is my bedroom. So that's my place where I meet with God. I close my door, and they know when my door is shut, not to come in. So you shut your door, and you build your altar. Start to build your altar in your room. Wherever that room is, start to build the altar. Because when that altar is built, and you come, that is your sacrifice to God. You are the lamb that is on that altar. And that is when He'll start to meet with you. And that is when He will start to do things and show you things and teach you things that you don't know. And He will teach you how to pray. You know, I can't teach you how to pray. I can tell you the how-tos, but I can't teach you how to do it. Why? Because that's His job. All He wants you to do is come. We've all been there at some stage learning how to pray. And it's caught, it's not taught. If you go with people who pray, you will find you'll pick up. And you'll start to change. And you'll start to say, boy, how did they get there? That's one question God wants you to ask. Boy, they're pretty good. How do they find the words? God starts to put the words in your mouth when you start to pray. So, you know, the things happen when you come into prayer. And the Spirit of God will teach us how to pray effectively. I do not believe we should set a specific time for prayer. Sometimes we've had a terrible day. But, you know, we shouldn't be motivated by the kind of day we've had. We should set aside time each time. Each time you come before God, don't be in a hurry to leave His presence. Don't be in a hurry to get up and go. I've only got 5 minutes. I'm going out now. If you're busy going out, go out. Don't bother about coming in the presence of God. Put the time aside. Keep the time for God separate. And don't set a set time. A lot of people say, oh, I've only got 5 minutes, so I'll just pray quickly and then I'm off. I've done my bit for God today. But then what has God done for you today? Have you stopped to think? You know? So that's why you need to put time aside and don't be in a hurry to pray. There is a process. Prayer is a process. So how do we enter into it? To enter into effectual prayer, we need to prepare ourselves. You could have a terrible day. But you know, when I have a terrible day, I just sit and I say, you know what, Lord? I've had the most terrible day today. But I'm coming now. I'm going to put all that aside. I'm going to take every distraction out of the way. I've had this world. There's nothing in here that I can benefit from, really. And you know, Lord, I'm just going to come and I'm going to forget about all that. And I'm going to concentrate on You. And I'm going to come before You. So I might be still in that state of mind while I'm talking to the Lord. I'm still sort of feeling like, you know, my day is clouded. So I read the Word of God. You don't have to get in there and read scripture after scripture. Sometimes I flick. You know, scripture here and a scripture there. Get myself prepared. You know, the Word of God will come and it'll start to calm you down. And once it calms down, you close off all distractions. I'm a great believer in every morning when I get up and I'll say, I bind every distraction in the name of Jesus. And you bring your mind into the captivity of the Word of God. Because when you bring your mind into that captivity, something will start to slow down in you. You know? And you block everything else out. And then you start to concentrate on Him. And when you start to concentrate on Him, the next thing you do, you start to praise Him. Because then you remember His goodness. Then you remember His grace. Then you remember the mighty things He's done for you. And all you can do is praise Him. There's nothing else that will give you anything else but praise. You know? And the Word says, whosoever offers praise glorifies Me. You know? Praise is the power of heaven. It brings down the anointing to pray. And therefore, it brings the answers. With prayer come answers. You can't just talk and nobody answers. You're not talking outside world there. You're not talking to space. You're talking to God. You're talking to the most human person that's ever lived. You know? Which brings us into prayer. There are lots of types of prayer, but as I said, I only want to concentrate on three types. Personal prayer. So what is personal prayer? When we come to pray personally, this is where we all start to pray. After you've prepared your heart and you've stilled yourself before the Lord, you've praised Him, automatically prayer comes. You pray for yourself. And it's not wrong to pray for yourself because you need to be changed, because if you're not changed, you can't change anybody else. You've got nothing to give anyone else. So therefore, when you first come in, you pray for yourself. You pray that God will change you. And this is where you start to exchange with God. You exchange with Him your ways for His ways. Father, teach me how to change my thoughts for your thoughts. Father, teach me how you see to how I see. Teach me how to speak the way you speak and how I speak. Teach me how to handle situations the way you would handle them before me flying off the handle. You know? This is all very genuine. This is the things we do. And these are things we have to learn to do. Because if we don't start asking to change us, if we don't start asking God for His ways, for His truth, for His life, then we're not going to go any further than that. We're just going to stay on the level we are. It's time to rise above the level. It's coming to the end of the age. We've got to be equipped. And I'm just telling you a little few things how to be equipped. Start being equipped. The next thing, you pray for your family. You pray for your loved ones, for those unsaved. And any other things that are related to you personally. In other words, any personal problem you've got, take it to God and pray. Okay? Because the answer will come. It may not come straight away. It may be many days hence. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, and many days hence you shall see it. You know? So therefore, it is important that we come and we share with God the way we're feeling. We share with God the way we are. He already knows it. It doesn't matter. But we have to come and start somewhere. Okay? So the somewhere is in the private closet. That's where we start with our personal prayer. Then we go into corporate prayer. Or public prayer, if you like. What is corporate prayer? It's when we as a church come together to pray. This is the most challenging time of prayer that you will ever find. Because when you come to pray together as a church, you will find where your inabilities, your incapabilities, everything that's within you will show forth. You will find that people pray loud, people pray soft, people pray slowly. Some people don't pray at all. They just sit there. And that's a fact. But the thing is, when we come into corporate prayer, we are coming to participate. We are not coming to be observers. Yeah. And why are we coming together to corporate prayer? Is to see God change the church. Yeah. To see God break through. To see the church finances come up. To see people's prison doors opened. To see people's lives changed. People that were in the pit of hell, to see them rise up. and to come out. This is what prayer does. It changes things, family. If you don't change, if you don't allow God to change that, the church will never rise above where she is today. Unless she is in corporate prayer for the house of God. This is God's calling for corporate prayer. And you know, the thing that has grieved me with churches time and time and time again, but I'm going to say it today, I don't care. Because there are people that come in, there'll be those who will pray, sit in the front. There's a big gap between the next lot, and the ones, the back benchers who want to talk, will sit at the back. They don't come to pray, they come to have a conversation. But we're serious today, church. We're serious. If you are one of those people that come at the back to sit and talk, please take your friend and go for a coffee. Don't bother coming. Because you're not doing anything, you're distracting those that are praying. And when you come to the church to pray, everybody prays. You know, you might only have one sentence to pray. It doesn't matter, God wants to hear it. And even if you come, and you pray with the same line that somebody else has just prayed, it doesn't matter. It's filling his cup with prayers. It's filling his cup to the top because he's waiting to brim over into his people. But by you holding back, you're stopping that one step further going on. So everybody who comes must pray. Now, it doesn't matter if somebody prays loud or if somebody prays soft. This is the inability for us. We're frightened. Why? Because we're frightened of what man will think of us. This is the church's biggest fear. What does he think of me? What does she think of me? If I only say that one sentence, they'll think I can't pray. They think I'm stupid. You know, there was a time, I'm going to share this, because when I was a new Christian, I went to a ladies' prayer meeting. And those ladies knew how to pray. They walked in the church. They never spoke a word. They walked in. They started praising the Lord. Up and down. Then somebody started with the song. And then they were into the prayer. No chatting. No chatting around. Just pray. And I sat there and I thought, this is pretty good. How did they do that? You know, how did they get there? Bam. Who taught them to do this? Can I do that? And you know what? I went away. I didn't say a word. I went away home, but next week I was back. Why? Because God started to draw me. Not because I wanted to be there. I didn't know what to do. The next week they allowed me to go for 2 or 3 weeks and just let me do nothing. Then the fourth week I went back. They all had their prayer time. And then they said, now Lee, you pray. And I said, what the? You know, we don't all have to go and pray. And then everyone went silent and they all... They were all quietly praying, waiting for me to pray. And you know, they did that until I opened my mouth. And eventually I prayed one sentence. And as soon as the one sentence was over, they all got up, they praised the Lord, and they thanked the Lord, and then they came and said to me, you know, that was pretty good, come and join us next week. You know? But I soon learned from them. I soon learned. I used to copy them. I used to pray the same prayer they prayed. It didn't matter. And they used to encourage me. They said, that's how you're going to learn. If you find something that I'm praying, pray it. It's fantastic. You know? But that is the way we learn. And it's in the corporate prayer meetings that we express ourselves to God. We petition Him for the church. We petition Him for the lost. We petition Him for the things that... The church needs to be a power on this earth. Okay? ISIS may be out there with their guns and everything else, and everybody might be out there doing their own separate things and doing their own works and everything else. But as a Christian, you stand before God. He will raise the standard if you will keep your heart right before Him. We have a standard to raise. And the standard is going to come from my mouth. How do we perceive and speak about the Church of Christ? The church has a body. We are the body of Christ. We have the body has a head, and that's Jesus Christ. The body has many parts. We've got hands, we've got feet, we've got eyes, we've got ears, nose, everything else. We're all parts. And every part has to supply. And God is in the process of putting every part together, fitly joint, so that we don't move around. We are working in sync. We are doing everything properly in God. Okay? So the thing is, we have got to give. To give, to be cemented in. You will not be cemented in if you stand apart and look on and not participate. Participation brings power, brings release. Okay? You've got to bring release when you pray. Sometimes in a corporate prayer meeting, you will have to keep praying on the same thing, and it doesn't matter. 15 people pray the same prayer 15 times until God has finished with that prayer. You must pray through. Okay? So that is your corporate prayer. The other part of the prayer is the intercessory prayer. Quite simply, intercessory prayer is the act of praying on behalf of others. The role of mediator. So in other words, when you come into intercessory prayer, you're coming in as a mediator. You're standing, as we say, standing in the gap for other people that maybe can't or maybe won't. You know, sometimes God lays somebody upon your heart and you've got to pray them through. Don't go running to them and say, listen, God put you on my heart and I prayed for you. You know? That's not what God's after. God wants you to pray through and you will see the change in that person. You will see what God has done. He will show it to you sometime. You know? But intercessory prayer is praying what's on His heart. It's not praying for what we want, our needs, whatever we want, or anything else. Because whatever we want, God wants too. But it's praying the specific things on God's heart. Intercessory prayer, sometimes God will keep what we call a burden, somebody on your heart for maybe a week. But it's not all that you've got to do it every day, all the time. No. It comes and goes. You might have a prayer time, get up and you go, and then suddenly you think of that person again, or that situation again, or whatever it is, you think about it again, and then you keep praying a bit more. Sometimes you don't know how to pray about it. Pray in tongues. Say, God, I don't know how to pray about the situation, so I'll just pray in tongues. But you're still praying it through until God's finished with it. Okay? Because what's on God's heart is what He wants to see done there and then. He's ready to move. The person is not able to overcome that barrier, so you are standing in the gap for that person for that specific time. Okay? Now, there might be a situation where the person can't break through. Don't let them walk around the mountain like the Israelites did. Pray God will take them through the mountain. And as they're at the mountain, let the mountain crumble. You pray it. You see it for that person. You know, you don't have to wait for other people to do it. God will lay it upon your heart. And sometimes God will wake you up at night to pray. When He does, He knows what you're capable of. He knows whether you'll even get up. And sometimes, yes, we'll get up. And sometimes I fall asleep straight away. But you know, the willingness was there. I woke up and I got up. That's first the heart. He's looking at the heart. He's looking for the fruit. He's not looking for anything else. He's looking to see our reactions to everything. How are we going to act? So in interest, we stand in that gap. Because Jesus was the greatest mediator of all, in the Old Testament, they had to have mediators like Abraham, Moses, David, Samuel, Daniel. These were all people who mediated, you know. But the New Testament, we have the greatest picture of all. The greatest mediator of all, Jesus Christ Himself. You know? And Jesus closed the gap between us and God when He died on the cross. Because He mediates, we can now intercede in prayer on behalf of other Christians. We can pray for the lost. We can ask God to grant their requests according to His will. Okay? And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. What is that? Obviously, we cannot pray all day. Obviously, we cannot be bowed with eyes closed and, you know, non-stop talking, chatter to God. God's not interested in that. But it's having that God consciousness around us all the time. That is what it means to pray without ceasing. That He is with us all the time. So we should have that God consciousness in whatever we do. We should live every waking moment in an awareness that God is with us and He is actively involved in our thoughts and our actions. Because God cares about each and every one of us. We are all unique to Him. And we all pray uniquely. It doesn't matter, as I say, if some are loud, some are short, whatever. We are all unique. And He's given all of us a prayer, how to pray. He will teach all of us how to pray. And it's just being willing and having a willing heart. When we have problems, fear, discouragement, anger, we should consciously turn every thought into prayer and every prayer into thanksgiving. Because the Word of God says, in everything give thanks. So therefore, we need to be taught how to turn every thought into prayer. So when you're angry, for instance, instead of straight barbing back like I do, if I'm angry, I'll give back straight. As soon as somebody says something, I'm there, you know. But I've had to learn that it doesn't always solve the problem. What solves the problem is putting God first. So in a situation that happens, the first thing you do is just say, okay, God, how do I handle this? How would you handle it? What do I do? You know, the questions keep coming hard and fast because we're angry. But while we're saying all these things, He's starting to calm us down. So there's an action and a reaction happening at the same time. So God starts to slow us down. And then we stop and then we just think. Or sometimes just walk away. Sometimes it's best just to walk away. When you're angry, walk away. Because you might say something you might regret later on. And that is the part you cannot take back. You can ask for forgiveness, but you can't take it back. So why say it in the first place? Let's think about it. We as Christians, we're learning to do these things. It's step by step. God is step by step. He's progressive. Progressive God does things progressively. And Paul taught the church. He exhorted the church. He didn't teach them. He exhorted them in everything by prayer and supplication or petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's in Philippians 4:6. And in Colossians 4:2, he exhorted them to continue in prayer, being watchful and being thankful. We need to be ever on the watch. And in Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and petition in the Spirit and watching with all perseverance for all saints. Not just for us, but for everybody. You know, if we want to be prayer people, we will become what they call prayer warriors. We'll start to look for each other, holding each other's back, you know. Not gossiping about each other, holding each other's back. If there's something you know about somebody, don't run and tell somebody else. Pray about it. Pray for them. Because it just as easily it could be you. Quite as easily it could be me. And many times I've got to look at, when I look at something that I have to say to myself, now, if I went and told them, what if someone said something about me? Would I like that? Certainly not. Sometimes God will show you things. Sometimes God might even show you someone's heart. But it's for you to pray through. Not for you to gossip about. Not for you to take to the next person. But for you to pray it through. That is what prayer is about. That's what is holding your brother's back. That's what's keeping you in God's will for mankind. So in closing, during the day, prayer should be our first response to every fearful situation or anxious thought. A lack of prayer will cause us to depend on ourselves instead of God's grace. We need continued communication with the Father. We need to be in communication with God. Jesus did that. He was in constant communication with God. He had a God awareness about Him all the time. And that is where we have to come to. Having God awareness. Every day, all the time. So in other words, He's the first, He's the last, and He does everything in between. Because when you look at creation, He was first, He ended it, and He made us in between. So therefore, we have to work on the in-between. Because He's begun it, and He'll end it. We're the in-between. So family, West Point, please. God has started something in our midst. Prayer is going to change it. Prayer is going to cement it. Prayer will take us forward. If we don't do it, don't blame anywhere else. God will find someone else. And you know what? I won't seek God to go somewhere else. Because this is where He's planted us. And this is where we're going to grow. And this is where we are going to be one in Him. And we're going to be a church that's to be reckoned with. Amen. Thank you.